I would like to offer my thankfulness to all of you who have so kindly come this evening to participate in this auspicious occasion when we come together to discuss what is the most important aspect of our life and how to pursue the real wealth of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us that different types of people, according to how they are influenced by the three modes of material nature, they view the world in very different ways. It is called the relative world because the perception of everything within this creation is seen in a different way by every person according to that person's relative state of consciousness. No two people see even a single blade of grass the same way. Why? Because our eyes may be seeing an image, but then that image is filtered through our mind before it actually affects our inner consciousness. The consciousness of every living being is the soul. We are not these bodies, and we are not these minds, but we are the eternal soul. And the soul is that animated, personal aspect of our existence that is the very essence of ourself. It is actually the soul that is experiencing life, but it is experiencing through the mind and through the senses. So when you see a leaf on a tree, the experience goes through your eyes. And actually, in the physical sense, you will see according to the characteristics of your eye. If you have defect in your eye, you will see something different than a person who does not have defect. Just like Jananda Prabhu. He is a seer of the truth because he sees through the eyes of the scriptures, not through the eyes of the body. His body has spectacles. So if he takes off his spectacles and looks at this leaf, he will see. Tell us what you will see. He wants me to see what I see with his spectacles. I don't even see the leaf. I just see the whole world has become green.
That's what it's like all the time with me, right?
Pretty well. Ah, but this microphone, I've never seen it like this before. So according to the condition of your eye, you will see everything differently. But then after it goes through your eye, it goes into your mind. And how many of us have the same mind? Every living being has a very unique, different type of mind with different desires. So whatever you see through your eyes gets filtered through your mind And all the desires within your mind, all the desires you have accumulated in this life and all your millions of previous lives. And then that image goes into your consciousness. First it goes through your mind, then it goes through your intelligence, then it goes through your ahankar, your false ego, and then your consciousness is seeing. So tell me, who sees anything the same in this world? One person sees a leaf. If that person has hay fever, allergies, he sees, oh, that leaf is my enemy. Get it out of here. If another person is very much conditioned to living in the city and watching television and going to the cinemas, he sees a leaf, he says, what is the use of a leaf? What pleasure will I get from a leaf? He sees a leaf and he just thinks, on the television show yesterday, when that beautiful woman was dancing, she had a leaf in her hair. So he thinks of a beautiful woman when he sees a leaf. And when a person who is very natural, artistic, poetic person, he sees a leaf, he thinks, oh, that wonderful poem by Rabindranath Tagore, he spoke about a leaf, and then he thinks about all poetic analysis of leaf. And another person who's a beggar on a street, he's thinking, if I can steal that leaf, I can sell it and get some paisas. So everyone's seeing the leaf different. And a devotee, when he sees the leaf, he thinks, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. If I offer this leaf to Krishna with devotion, he will accept it and my life will be perfect. Someone else will look at the leaf and say, I will eat that leaf. So in this way, everyone is seeing the leaf different. No two people are seeing this leaf the same way. And this is how everything within this creation is manifest. We see the world through the mirror of our mind, and that reflects into our conscious awareness. An example is given how one time Duryodhana was told that you go and I want you to search all around and find for me that person who has no bad qualities. Find that person who does not have faults. So Duryodhana actually searched the whole world to look for someone who didn't have faults. And everywhere he looked, he only saw faults. He saw Bhishma. He was thinking, Bhishma, he didn't marry Amba, so he has fault. He saw Drona, his own guru. Even Drona, he had arguments with Drupada, fault. He came back after searching throughout the planet Earth, and he said, I'm sorry to say, but there everybody on this planet is filled with faults, except me. Then Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked, I want you to find that person What was it? I want you to find that person Duryodhana, he said, no one is superior to me. Everyone is filled with faults. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked to find that person who has faults. So he traveled around the whole world. And he came back and he said, I have not found a single person in the whole world that has any faults, except me. So this is the difference of consciousness. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kiritaniya sadahad. Yudhisthira had this consciousness. Because he was good in himself, because he was faultless in his own motivations of life, he saw everybody like that. And because Duryodhana was deceitful, he was envious, he was full of faults, he saw everyone with faults. A person overcome by lust sees that everybody's lusty. A person who's attached to his wealth thinks everyone wants my wealth. A person who has faults within himself sees faults everywhere and in everyone. But Yudhisthira, no matter how hard he tried to look, he could not find a single fault in anyone. And that is why he was so dear to Krishna. That is why Yudhisthira was able to see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to him with love. But as far as Duryodhana is concerned, Krishna revealed himself to Duryodhana according to his own consciousness. When the battle of Kurukshetra appeared that it was inevitable, Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to make peace. He told the Kurus that if you just give the Pandavas 5 villages, you could have the rest of the kingdom. And he actually sent Krishna as a messenger to give this to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. So Lord Krishna, he was traveling to Hastinapur. And when the people of Hastinapur heard that Krishna is coming, they became very excited. Even Dhritarashtra became excited because they knew that Krishna was God. He was the Lord. He's the killer of the Maru demon. He was the upholder and originator of all dharma. So Dhritarashtra told the people of Hastinapur that we should welcome Krishna with great, great honor and respect. Everyone, make all arrangements. We should give him the most royal welcome we've ever given anyone. We should decorate the roads with pavilions, and we should make beautiful carpets for his lice lotus feet to step upon, and wherever he walks there should be bands of people playing instruments and dancers dancing and singers singing and Brahmins chanting hymns, and there should be beautiful paintings, and there should be the most costly silks and rugs and carpets, and we should have the most precious gifts of jewels and silks to offer him. And at every stage of his journey, as he's entering into the city, there should be the finest foods and the most delicious drinks. We should make Krishna so happy. And then he will join our side against the Pandavas. This was his motivation. So Vidura told Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, he said, Krishna will not even look at anything you give him because it's not done with devotion.
Krishna knows your heart. And he knows that your heart is ambitious for all your own personal selfish interests. And all these offerings are for that purpose. If you do not offer it with pure devotion for his pleasure, he will not accept any of it. So they did not like to hear the words of Vidura. So Krishna came into the city, and all these wonderful arrangements were made, and Krishna did not even look at any of it. He wouldn't accept any of the food, he wouldn't accept any of the drinks. Every single person of Hastinapur came out to meet Krishna. The women who couldn't see close, they were on the rooftops, bowing down to Krishna, embracing him within their hearts. And everyone was bowing down, millions of people, except Duryodhana. So when Krishna came into the city, he came to Dhritarashtra's palace. Duryodhana came forward and told Krishna that I have prepared a wonderful feast for you. When he came into Duryodhana's palace, it was so opulent. Duryodhana was sitting on a very big, beautiful throne, and there were thousands and thousands of kings from all over the world who were sitting on both sides of him, worshipping him and honoring him as the king. And Duryodhana had a wonderful golden throne arranged for Krishna. So Krishna came in and he sat down. And Duryodhana said, I have prepared wonderful, wonderful food for you. Krishna said, I don't want your food. Duryodhana said, but I have made so many wonderful arrangements. You must not insult me. You must take meal in my house. Krishna said, your offering is contaminated by your greed and your sins. He said, the Pandamas are my devotees. If you disrespect the Pandavas, you disrespect me. If you hate the Pandavas, you hate me. As you treat my devotees is how you treat me. If you do not have love and respect for devotees, I cannot accept anything you offer me. I have no appetite. And this is the truth. Lord Chaitanya said a similar thing, that if you come and touch the feet of a person and then beat him on the head with a stick, what kind of worship is that? He said, someone who worships me but disrespects my devotee is touching me in the feet and beating my head with stick. Because for Krishna, the devotee is more dear than his own life. To love the devotee is to love Krishna. So Krishna just got up and walked out and went to Vidura's house. And Vidura was not even expecting him. He just gave him some very simple prasad, and Krishna was very happy. And Krishna, the next morning, he went to the court of Dhritarashtra. And he told Dhritarashtra, he said, that you are the king of the Kuru dynasty. And the Kurus are famous for being forgiving and for being very, very virtuous and moral and just and pious. So live according to your heritage. The whole world belongs to the Pandavas. But Yudhisthira Maharaj is so humble. He's so willing to cooperate with you. He's willing to allow you to rule over the entire world if you just give 5 villages to he and his brothers, 1 for each. If you do this, Yudhisthira Maharaj has promised that he will be your servant and he will protect you and fight for you and be your ally through thick or thin. And if the Kurus are joined with the Pandavas, who could possibly come to harm you? But if you do not do this, if you insult my devotees, I give you this information. Not only will all of your dynasty be destroyed, but all the kings in the whole world will be destroyed. Dhritarashtra said to Krishna, "What you're saying is true. I know that we should give the Pandavas 5 villages. Yudhisthira is such a good person. However, you have to convince my son, Duryodhana, because I cannot act independent of him." So Krishna turned to Duryodhana and he gave him the same message. He said, "You are such a sinful fool. What have you done to the Pandavas? You tried to poison them. You tried to burn them by fire. You cheated them in gambling. You tried to violate the chastity of their wife. And even after all this, Yudhisthira Maharaj is willing to forgive you for everything, to see only the good qualities in you, and he's willing to fight for you and be your loyal subject if you just give him a village." Duryodhana became very angry and he said to Krishna that you are telling so many lies. He says, "Why are you making everyone think that I'm at fault? Your ideas are wrong. I have no faults. I have never made a mistake. This is all lying propaganda against me to turn my father and all the other Kurus against me. Yudhisthira is full of faults. The Pandavas are full of faults. Why are you accusing me? I didn't force them to gamble. They agreed to gamble and they lost. They ate the poison. They went to the house with fire. I'm not at fault. They're at fault. Why are you spreading these bad things against me? I am the ruler of the world and I will not give as much land as I can drive the head of a pin through to any of them." Krishna told Duryodhana that you will be laying on the hard ground, extinguished by the arrows of the Pandavas, along with your whole dynasty. Anyways, what happened is Bhishma and Drona and Dhritarashtra and everyone was actually preaching to Dhritarashtra that Krishna is right. You shouldn't listen to this Duryodhana. So Duryodhana became so upset. He decided that we have to put Krishna in prison because he's not surrendering to us. Hare Krishna. If we put Krishna in our jail, then the Pandavas will never be able to fight this battle because Krishna is their life and soul. So Duryodhana actually sent his soldiers to arrest Krishna. And when Krishna saw the soldiers coming and Duryodhana coming to put him in jail, Krishna just started to laugh, a very loud laugh. And he said, you think you can put me in jail? You think I am alone? You just see who I am. And then all of a sudden, as Krishna was laughing, Brahma came out of his forehead. Then Shiva came out of his chest. And then Indra and Vayu and the Vasus and all these millions of demigods started coming out of his mouth. And then Balaram came out of one arm and Arjuna came out of another arm. And then all of a sudden Krishna just grew into this form where he had millions of thousands of arms, each one holding deadly weapons. And his eyes were more blazing than the sun and the moon. And all of the various gods and all of the various universes and all, everything was just manifesting in the most incredible way through this universal form. And this form was so bright, so effulgent, that no one could look at it. Everyone just had to close their eyes and cover them with their hands. It was so brilliant. Except for Bhishma and a few other very great devotees, they were able to look. And then Krishna just withdrew the entire universal form and laughed and walked out.
Hare Krishna.
Anyways, Arjuna saw a similar universal form in the Battle of Kurukshetra. And what did he do? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitramitam. He prayed, "You are the supreme Brahma and you are the supreme controller. You are the all in all. I surrender to you." With folded hands, he offered prayers and surrendered to Krishna. When Duryodhana saw the universal form, he wasn't ecstatic. He didn't surrender to Krishna. His mood was, he was very disappointed. Because of this universal form, he wasn't able to arrest Krishna. That was his vision. So Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. And he reveals himself through the world according to our state of consciousness. And therefore, religion in its true form is meant to purify our consciousness. To actually be able to see everything in truth, according to the eyes of the scriptures. Brahma Samhita explains, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Balankuriti, that when one's eyes are decorated with the salve of love, one could see the beautiful form of Shamsundar Krishna playing in his flute and dancing with his devotees. But one whose eyes do not have that purified state, one whose mind is still contaminated by so many material desires, even when we see Krishna directly, who's manifesting in the deity of the temple, sometimes we're bored. We're looking at the deity and we're seeing wood or stone. Arti's going on and we're thinking, when will Arti end? I want to go to sleep. Or I want to go eat something. Or I want to go talk to somebody about the latest events as far as the scandals in the Hare Krishna movement or in the newspapers or whatever. Why we're looking at the deity and we're not thrilled? Why our hairs are not standing on end, our voice is not choked up? It's because the vision, Krishna's there, but we're not able to appreciate him because the contaminations of our heart. Krishna is non-different than his name. All the power and beauty of God is in his name. Nayanam galada sudaraya gadgada rudhaya ulakai krita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, when will my eyes overflow with tears and my voice get choked and my limbs tremble when I chant the name of Krishna? When will that day come? But we are chanting the name of Krishna. But because our mind and our senses are still polluted by material desires, we are not able to appreciate. Therefore, we must very sincerely and patiently take to the process of purification, by which we can see every leaf as the sacred manifestation of Krishna's energy. We see the presence of God in that leaf, and we understand that it is meant for Krishna's service. This is the vision of the soul in its unadulterated state. Srila Prabhupada taught us that this whole world is the artistry of Krishna. It is all an expression of Krishna's love, everything. If we could see everything as the expression of Krishna's love, if we can see every event that comes into our life as the manifestation of Krishna's mercy on me, how blissful, how full of love our hearts would be. But we are dull, we are polluted. Therefore, we must very, very enthusiastically and very much with determination take to the process of purifying our hearts. Seeing through the eyes of the scriptures means we understand what it really is, even though we don't see it and we don't feel it. We don't hear it, we don't taste it, we don't smell it, but we know what it is. We know because of our jaundice. If a person has jaundice, he tastes sweet things as being bitter. If a person has jaundice, because his eyes are yellow, he actually sees everything with a yellow tinge. Have you ever had jaundice? You actually start seeing everyone as being yellow. Because your eyes are yellow. You're thinking, Nityodita Maharaj, he's become yellow. Actually, Nityodita Maharaj, is in his original swarup, is not yellow. But I'm seeing yellow because I'm yellow. He's actually saffron. So we are all suffering from the jaundice-like disease of greed and anger and envy and lust and pride and illusion. This is a madness. We're seeing the whole world in this madness. So we must take the proper medicine. And we must take this medicine according to the regulated dose, under the prescription of a proper physician. The physician is the Lord's representatives, the sadhus who come to repeat the message of the scripture through their life and words. And the medicine is to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the names of the Lord, and to learn how to be a servant of the Lord, to learn how to utilize what we have in God's service rather than according to our own selfish, exploitive purposes of life. And through this process, we gradually become purified. Just see, a cat is crossing our trail. What do you think this cat sees? He's looking for a mouse. And he's seeing everything according to that. When he sees this leaf, he's thinking, maybe the mouse is hiding behind the leaf. He sees everything in relationship to mice, because he's lusty for a mouse, hungry for a mouse. Yes, he's just looking around. Mouse or a bird, something to eat. And therefore, he's not listening to this philosophy I'm speaking. He's completely immersed. Just watch this cat. He's just searching, completely fixed and looking for a bird or a mouse to eat. And here we're speaking all nice Bhagavad Gita philosophy, and not a word of it is. He's hearing it. He has ears. The sound vibration is going into his ears. So we are all like this cat. According to our motivations and ambitions in life, we are perceiving the whole world. Human form of life is meant especially for the purpose of cultivating purified consciousness, Krishna consciousness. To cultivate that state where we no longer see faults in others. If you want to know who is filled with faults, it's very easy. Just see who's finding faults with others. If you want to know who has good qualities, it's very easy. See who sees good qualities in others. See who's trying to elevate people. Those people are elevated. Those people who are trying to push people down, those are the people who are down. If you try to degrade others, that means you're degraded. If you try to elevate others, that's elevated. Our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he was so elevated. He was trying to elevate everyone. Sometimes he would chastise people, but never fault-finding. He was pointing out difficulties in a humble way to upgrade them, to bring them up, to elevate them. But any little speck of devotion a person had, he would magnify it and encourage it and try to cleanse a person. That is the quality of a real sadhu. Tatikshava karunaka surada sarvadehinam. A devotee is tolerant and merciful. And he's actually the friend of every living being because he genuinely or she genuinely wants to help everyone. Sees Krishna's in everyone's heart. Every living being is a pure part of Krishna. Let me help them. Let me serve them. That is the goal of life. To strive to have those qualities. To live by those principles. To associate with people who have those aspirations in life. The process of Krishna consciousness is the sublime method of developing these qualities and seeing the world as it is, as the abode of Krishna. A place where service to Krishna is the glory of our life. And this all can in a very practical way be realized through associating with devotees, through following the guidance of Bhagavad Gita as great souls like Srila Prabhupada are teaching, and especially through hearing from the devotees of the Lord and learning the process of purification, which in this age of Kali Yuga is the chanting of Krishna's holy names. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. All of these other spiritual practices we are discussing can only bring about the real purification of the heart when they are in relationship to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the process of cleaning our hearts, cleaning our mind, purifying our egos so that we can see everything in truth. We can see everything not like the cat. Where is the bird? Where is the rat for me to enjoy? But the pure soul sees everything in this world. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. It is all for Krishna's enjoyment. It is all for the service of Krishna. Just now we are seeing a practical example. There is a very helpless creature in the form of a fat worm that is just on the raised dais, and Jananda Prabhu is very compassionately offering some vegetables to Krishna and feeding the worm prasad. Hare Krishna. He's seeing every living being. Somebody would see that worm and say, ooh, that ugly thing, get him out of here. Some people would kill it and smash it. Someone would throw it away. Someone would just ignore it. But a devotee's consciousness is to serve it. Hare Krishna. He's such a big preacher. He travels all over the world giving big kathas. Thousands of people want to hear him. And here he is, putting his attention to give prasad to this worm. What is it, a worm? It is a slug. Everyone knows what slugs are. You could come and see if you like. Right now he's having feast, prasad feast. So this is what I have wasted your time trying to talk for an hour. Within a second, he's demonstrating. Very well. Every situation, everywhere, he's just seeing the opportunity to serve. Janananda Prabhu ki. This is because he's always chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.